Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having one of country music great stars, Lisa Mattesa. She's going to talk about her new album and really her career for the last 20 years. So if you have any questions, you can call in at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can post your question in the chat room. I'm not going to read it on the air. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Tim. This is a pleasure.
Great. I guess to begin, tell us about yourself. I know you're from Long Island, New York, but can I tell us how you guys started?
Sure. Well, I was born here in Long Island, New York, and when I was about 6 years old, my family packed up and moved down to South Florida. So I was down in South Florida till I was about 15 years old. So that is where my country music influence comes from, growing up listening to songs from Johnny Cash and Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline. So I loved everything about country music. So, yeah, believe it or not, when I was raised down in Florida, that's where it came from. So when people say, oh my gosh, you're from Long Island and you like country music, where did that come from? It really was because I was raised on country music down in Florida. And I just loved to sing. I was about 8 years old and I started to sing opera. I studied that for about 5 years. And so I just loved it. But I always loved the storytelling of country music. And I'm just so glad that I'm finally doing the music that I absolutely love.
And you say opera, so you while you were coming up, your parents exposed you to opera, or you just started singing classically?
Well, you know, I started singing like every other person would tell you, or especially young ladies when they're growing up, they tell you, oh, I sang in front of my mirror with my brush, and it's true, I did that. I would turn on a Patsy Cline record or even a Barbra Streisand record, and I would sit there in front of the mirror, and I would try to emulate them. I would try to get their timbre down. I tried to get their vocal styling down. So basically, I was trying to mimic them and coming up with my own style in the midst of it, but never realizing that the whole time my mom and dad would be like listening in on the door. And finally one day I did some song, I wish I can remember what song it was, but there was a song that I did that was pretty powerful, and I want to say it was a Streisand song, and they flung open the door after it was over, and my dad had his arms up in the air, and he's like, oh my gosh, you can sing. And so from that moment on, my mom was, we have to get you a vocal coach, we need to get this right, we have to do this right. And they started sending me to a vocal coach who happened to be an opera singer, and so I was classically trained, and I did that for 5 years. And then when we moved back to New York in my 10th grade of high school, I started doing some off-Broadway. And when I moved back here, if you told anyone that you loved country music, they looked at you like you were crazy because there were no country music outlets here on Long Island. It was all rock and roll, you know. And so as a teenager, you learn to adapt, you know. You start listening to groups like Journey and Heart and Bon Jovi and stuff like that. And then at 19, I was offered a record deal, and I figured if I couldn't sing country music, I was going to sound like a country music artist, so I changed my name to Lisa Lynn in homage to Loretta. And I did that for 2 years
Wow.
with Lisa Lynn. Yeah.
Did you ever listen to her, is her sister, Crystal Gayle?
Crystal Gayle's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Of course I did, yeah. Just a wonderful, wonderful singer. They all have such beautiful voices. You know, a lot of the older country music artists, female artists, they just had the most pleasing sounding voices. You can listen to them all day long and never get tired of them singing, you know. They never had a voice where you could, you know, listen to it and go, oh, all right, can you turn that off now? It's not like that with country music. It's always about a story, and you can always put yourself in that position of the story. And that's what is so intriguing to me, because it's real life. It talks about things that people go through, right? Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you take Loretta Lynn, if you take Crystal Gayle, Crystal, more contemporary, pop, Loretta, more country, roots of the country music world, and growing up, and you see this transition between just within this one family.
Right.
What do you think about those two transitions of even within one family of the style of music within country? You have pop, you have traditional folk, you have all different types of styles. So when you develop your style, I know when you're in a certain age group, you listen to everybody, then slowly you come with your own style. How did you come with your own style?
Well,
because
I'm
at 19,
so glad.
By that, then you had your style.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, when you're singing as a young person, when you start singing that early on, for me at least, it could be different for someone that's just starting to sing, you know. A lot of people can be taught it, but there's certain things that when you're younger and you start singing and you develop your own style, they stay with you. They really do. And so for me, just talking about myself as far as the styling goes, I know that there are certain things that I do with my voice that they just happen. I don't try to do it. It's just something that goes on when I phrase a word. And it's funny that you should bring up when I was 19, because the music that I did when I was 19 was actually dance music. But I remember being in the studio recording my records at that time back in the 80s. And a few of the producers that I was working with would say to me, "Can we ask you something? Have you ever thought about doing country music?" And I said, "Why do you say? Of course, why?" And they said, "Because you do something with your voice. There's something that you do that lends itself to sound country. And it's not that you're forcing it. It's just the way you're phrasing the words. Certain words that you use, certain vowels that you use, sound like it could fit very well in a country song." So I looked at them and I said, "You know, I listened to country music my whole life and I loved it, and maybe one day, but you know, how can you do country music right now? You know, the Taylor Dane and Brenda K. Starr, that's what's happening right now." So but they did say that to me. But it's funny you should say that. And also, with your respect to your second question about what do I think about how the music business has changed as far as the country sound, how it's branched out, it has branched out, and I'm so glad that it's done that. Because you're right, you do have the standard folk music. You have the traditional classic country sounds like Johnny Cash and, you know, Oak Ridge Boys and things like that. You have that music that will never, ever die. You will always have fans of that traditional country sound. And with artists like Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood, Shania Twain, up in like in the 90s, that started to change the music and started to add a little bit of pop, if you will, into the mix. People started listening to it, and they started grabbing people from other genres of music. Then you started into the 2000s, and you have artists like Taylor Swift, who totally blew it out of the water and started grabbing in all
Absolutely.
The younger demographic. You know, because if you think about it, the demographic of country music back then was not your 15-year-old. Now it's changed.
No.
Thanks to artists like Keith Urban and Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert, you have today that demographic of country music, which is now a little bit of pop, country, rock. There's so much, there's soul, there's R&B in some of it with Bonnie Raitt. You know, there's so much in there that now it's, people look at it like it's America's music. And so that demographic of who's buying and who's downloading country music is now that 35 to 55-year-old female. That's the demographic. So it used to be a lot older, but now it's going even further down. It could be the last time I checked it was 35, but it could be going down as low as 30-year-old, you know, even lower than that. So it's such a broad range now. And those artists, like I mentioned, of the Garth Brooks and Taylor Swift and Shania Twain, they blew it wide open for everyone. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? You may have those country music diehard fans from, you know, that listen to Patsy and Loretta like myself that may turn around and say, "That's not country music." But for me, listening to those artists as well, I can tell you that it is. I feel that it is, and I love where it came from, where it's going and where it came from, and I think those roots are always going to be there. But it always has been about the song. It comes down to
Absolutely.
The lyric of a song. That's what it is. That's what I loved so much about country music. So, and I'm so glad that Long Island, New York finally has gotten on the ball. And you're like, you know what? Country music is fun.
So why do you think the change happened? I mean, I remember, see, I grew up on Hee Haw and Oak Ridge Glories and, you know, here in Texas. And, you know, we had in Houston all types of different country music. I mean, we were in the heart of the South, rather.
Sure.
And you know, every Friday or Saturday, I think when Hee Haw came on, we look at it. I think it was like Friday nights here. And
right.
Just clockwork. You just watch it and watch it. And that's who we are. And it pretty much it lasts through the whole 70s. And then by the 80s, we still were coming, I think, rebirth of certain artists started to come out. And they still kept the tradition going. But as we gravitate towards the 90s, things started to change. It was becoming less traditional and more mainstream. How did that marriage work? All of a sudden, we were on this path. Was it a bulk of the artists during that time who was just bigger than life? And then all of a sudden, as they reach their 60s and they start to retire, then a new generation started to come up and change the sound?
Well, I think that had a lot to do with it. But also, if you think about it as well, you know, society changed. The media changed. Television changed. Radio started to change. And what happened is you had movies that came out in that time that glorified the country music lifestyle, or country music in general, even Southern living in general. I remember in the late 70s, early 80s, when you had that movie with John Travolta, Rhinestone Cowboy or Urban Cowboy, something like that. Everyone wanted to go to Gilly's, you know? Everyone wanted to get down there, and it was fun, and it was exciting, and it wasn't the typical New York style where you had, you know, in the 70s where girls were running around in a nightclub with roller skates on and stuff like that, and the glitter and things like that. It was still natural down home country, but there was a glitz to it. There was something that intrigued people, and of course in the media that changed as well. And I think people were drawn to it because, again, it came down to the song. It came down to the music, and they started playing a lot more of these younger artists. But if you can recall, there's still so many of those old-time artists, those country music artists that are still doing it. You know what I mean? Because the country music fan, Tim, is the most loyal fan you're ever going to
meet. They are.
They really are, and I mean that in all sincerity and with the most respect, because that's what they give the country music artist. They give respect to the artist. They appreciate it. There's a totally different vibe in between, if just from my personal experience, between working in the pop world and the dance world back in the 80s when I was doing the freestyle dance stuff, and I did the whole gamut of clubs and touring and radio visits and so forth, the same way that I'm doing it now as a country artist, there's a complete different side. There is the country music fan, they appreciate everything that you do, that what you go through, and they're just down to earth real people, and I love being involved in that. And for me, it is really one of the best parts of doing this, especially at this age of my life, at this stage of the game, realizing that they can see how much I appreciate what I'm doing, and I can see how much they appreciate the fact that I'm doing it. So there's a mutual respect there, and they keep that going with the our the famous country music artists that are out there, like Dolly Parton, that's still singing. Loretta was recently just at the Opry again, and even acts like Kenny Rogers and stuff. I mean, these artists are never going to go anywhere. They're going to always have that amazing group of that country fan that's going to love them unconditionally. And that's what is so beautiful about country music, too. There's just so many things, and I think that through the years, people just wanted to get a part of that, become a part of that, and bring it out there to America and see, hey, guess what? This is what music's about, you know? And that's just my opinion, but I'm just so glad that I'm part of it.
Yeah, and you kind of ironically, you mentioned the loyal customer. Even John Rich mentioned that on the episode of The Apprentice. He said, you know, they are real loyal to the country brand, the style of music itself, a loyal audience altogether. And that's what he mentioned a year ago. And they really, the whole community was really rooting for him. Even, you know, we like Molly, but however, they just liked, you know, John, and they, you know, they just wanted to support what he was doing. So they were going beyond whatever they can do just to make sure that, you know, he won and he represented, you know, country music itself.
Hello?
So when you mentioned about John Tirola, do you think because he when he came and did Urban Cowboy, he just made country music cooler? Since you had, you know, you had the funds, but you had John Tirola. You think he kind of began and with MTV kind of changed the style of music itself? We're going to take a break at the moment, and we'll be back with Lisa.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Okay, we're back with Lisa. We were talking about John Travolta when he came and did Urban Cowboy. He was on the top of really the booming of his career. You had the Fonz, but however, you had John to come all the way to do Urban Cowboy. You think that started to shift a little?
I think so.
Now
I
you
think
brought
that
New York to now to the South.
Well, pretty much. Well, for me, it's... To me, Long Island country, and that's the genre of music that I coined that phrase of Long Island country, it's basically the best storytelling of country music with the edginess of New York rock and roll. So it's a little bit of both, but if you think about it, a lot of those artists out there today are doing that as well. If you had a band, like if you thought about Lynyrd Skynyrd, today they would be considered a country band. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Thinking about it now? So again, it all comes down to the song, and I think that people were just really looking forward for something different and something to relate to, and that's what country music does.
Now, are you a keyboardist or you're a guitar player? Or how do you write your music?
Well, for me, I have a piano here, and I'm no way near a musician as far as playing an instrument. I wish I could, but unfortunately, I just never took the time to learn it. I always wanted to just hone in on my vocals. But when I write a song, I come up with a melody, or I come up with an idea of what the song title would be. And I know enough on the piano to play chords and do that. But I like to... when an idea comes about, I'll talk on my phone or into a recorder, and I'll basically sing the melody, and it could be so much as just humming this melody in my head that I may have.
Wow.
And then I like to talk with, there's a few people that I do write with, and especially my good friend Joey Sykes, who helped me get started in this. He's the one that presented to me two songs that are on my Sunrise Highway LP. One was called I Don't Feel Anything, and the second was called Me Time. And Joey and I also co-wrote a song together with Don Rollins called Learning As You Grow. That is also also on my Sunrise Highway LP. So I'll send over the idea to him, and together we'll work it out and come up with a song. But it comes from an idea that I have. Like I said, it could be from a melody or a word or a phrase or a feeling.
So how did you come up with Me Time? I mean, everybody talk about Me Time, and all of a sudden, my gosh, this song about Me Time, and I love it. But
well, thank you. Thank you.
I mean, just
that song thing, actually.
You know,
yeah, that song.
That.
I know. It's so relatable if you think about it. And then I started noticing that there were places like Annie Ann's Pretzels in the airports. They had little cups that say, enjoy some me time. And then you'd go to the hotels and Hilton Hotels or something, or Doubletree, I forget what it was. But you'd have on their door handles, enjoying some me time, come back later, that type of thing. And when Joey presented that song to me, that, I have to tell you, Tim, was the first song that Joey actually let me listen to. And when I heard it, I said to him, oh my gosh, that's my life story in 3 minutes, doing everything for everyone else and never having enough time to take a step back and say, you know, I need some time for me. And so that was the first single that we released back in June of last year when my EP came out, the Me Time EP came out. And it was great. It was such a wonderful song to sing because, again, so many people listened to it, and especially women, and they related to it. And then we did a video down in Nashville for that back in September of last year, and it went to number one on CMT.com, so I was really happy about that as well. And it's also on the Sunrise Highway LP. We actually put that on the album as well.
So how do you balance your family? I'm sure you have active kids, a family life, and a country music career.
Well, it's not without help. I can tell you right now, I have one of the most amazing families in the world. I do. I have, my daughter is 16 and my son is 14. So it's true that they're not little ones, but and they are very much self-sufficient. My daughter works and, you know, goes to school and everything. But I have a great support team at home with my husband and with my parents, who thankfully are still with us today. And I have an extended family of sisters, sister-in-laws, and my brothers, and so forth. So it's important that when I did embark on this journey about 2 years ago and decided to take that leap of faith and do this and try to see where it could have gone, when I did stop, you know, years ago, and I always felt like I wondered what would have happened. And so I approached them and I said, I've got this burning desire to do this. I'm tired of saying what if. I'm tired of wondering what could have happened, and I want to do it. And if I do this, I need to have your support. And if I don't have it, I won't even think about it. I won't even do it. And they were all in agreement, and they all said, Mom, you need to do it. I mean, there are musicians that come in and out of my house all the time. We have a studio here, so my children were brought up and raised on music, and music is a big part of our lives. And so when I wanted to do this, they were very supportive of it, and so they understand. And when I'm on the road, I try my best to make sure that they're not too far extended times when I'm gone. It never over 10 days. I'll be home by the 11th, 10th, or 11th day. And they will happen, you know, I'll be home a week, and then I'll be gone maybe a week to 10 days. And then I'll be home a week, and then I'll be gone. So we try to break it up. And when there's a time where I have to do a performance or a video, I try to schedule it when my kids are out of school so that they can come with me. So we try to do that together. We work the best we can, and then when I'm on the road, we talk to each other and FaceTime each other. Thank God for technology.
Wow.
That you can do that.
So what do you think, as country music, where we are today and where we're headed to?
I think that it's a great place that we're in right now, personally. I really do. I think that more and more people are seeing that country music is something that is easy to listen to, easy to love, easy to relate to. And you see that by the different, you know, reality shows that they have now on the television. I mean, they have these contests and these shows like American Idol. You have The Voice, you have X Factor, all these you can see from watching them. And I'm not really a huge fan of watching reality contests, but there's so many singers that are on these shows that are country music singers, and people love them, especially the younger generation. You have Scotty McCreery, you have Lauren Alenia, Hunter Hayes. These are artists that otherwise never would have been seen if it wasn't for a reality show, or the fact that country music has become so important in music today. Artists like Blake Shelton, who sits on The Voice, he's a character. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Most of the country music artists are. They're real. They're down to earth. And I think that America's finally getting a chance to see that. And I'm really glad that that's what's happening.
Wow. Do you think it's a little easier for a person who's come into this particular genre to join it? Or is it harder than before?
I think it's the same as every other genre of music that you want to try to break into. Being a musician is very difficult. To be a successful recording artist, it takes a lot of hard work. I'm not going to kid you on that. There are doors that get closed in your face every time, and it really doesn't matter just how talented you are. I mean, you have to have some talent, true, you know, to make it in any business, not just music, but there's a lot of factors at work. You need to have a great support team. You have to have people that you work with that completely believe in you and believe in what you do. And like I said, that goes with any type of occupation. And with the music business, you got to think about it also that music is subjective. What I may like, you may not like. What a radio program director may listen to and say, that's a hit. Another program director down in up in Seattle will say, I would never air it. You know, so there's a lot of up and downs. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's harder to make it in country music. It's really in any genre of music. To be involved in music takes a lot of effort and a little bit of luck, to be quite honest with you, too.
Well, you know, Lionel Richie, really commended him because I think during that particular time in the early part of the last century, a lot of African Americans listened to country music in the South, and my family from Louisiana, they used to call it hillbilly music, had a little twist to it, but it's kind of strange he made this comment, but you know, that's really what he listened to when he was growing up. And I said, oh, you go, Lionel, you're going to take your old stuff and put a twist to it and just keep recycling to make those royalties, you know.
Right.
It sounds pretty good. Yeah, it's just kind of, it was really funny. He said, okay, take the familiar stuff, rebrand it and sound it, and, you know, he can do that. So his stuff just comes out of him as a composer. Just, oh my gosh, how does these ideas just pop up, and he just rebranded it. Yeah, well, your story, I heard you on another interview, and your story, which I said, oh, my God, we were talking about social media, and today it's a little bit harder, but however, now the record companies want the person to almost be branded themselves, have their own audience already built in to lessen their liability to release something. Can you tell us about how you, you're real active on Twitter, you're active on Facebook. How did you rebrand yourself and build your audience that a record company all of a sudden say, oh, my gosh, everything's just built in. And are you an independent label now, or are you just contracting with the
I am still on an independent label. I'm on an independent label, but, you know, it's funny you should say about rebranding and so forth with respect to Lionel Richie. I mean, he's a genius, number one, in so many different ways. He's an incredible songwriter, an incredible vocalist. So, and I'm glad that he found a way to reinvent himself and keep himself working in the business. I mean, yes, it's. I'm sure eventually when someone that has a hit song or many hit songs like him, it's great to be able to live off the royalties. But you can see that that's not the only reason why he does it. He does it because he loves the music, and he's great at it. And so he reinvents himself. Artists like Madonna did the same thing. Madonna does that continuously. She reinvents herself. So as far as me reinventing myself, I wouldn't say it's more of a reinventing. It's finally doing something that I've wanted to do for so long. So for me, being Lisa Lynn in the 80s, early 90s, that wasn't who I was completely. And now I'm doing it on my terms. But there's a shelf life, so to speak, in business, in music business. You really have to think about, will people look at me as marketable? I don't know so much if I were to walk into a record label and say to them, hi, I'm a 40-something-year-old mom from Long Island, New York. I have two teenagers. And guess what? I'd love to sing country music. I don't know how well that would fly. So for me, with the internet and with the fact that you can now get your music out to the world without having to knock on doors of record labels and say and trying to pitch yourself and trying to show them that, hey, guess what? I may have something that's marketable and I'm your demographic. And take a look and listen at me, but that doesn't happen, unfortunately. So you have to invent mm-hmm. yourself or reinvent yourself, if you'd like to say. You need to get yourself out there. And so for me, I got the groundwork started and the foundation built 2 years ago before I even got the records released and started to do all this promotion with radio and so forth. I wanted them to know that if I was going to do this, I was going to do it the right way. So I had a website in place. I had an EP in place. I had a video in place. I had social media off the ground with fans, making them one at a time. We hired different public relations people and PR publicists that went out there and started putting out information about me. I do radio interviews and print interviews all the time, at least 5, 6, 7 times a week with different avenues just to get myself out there. Some of them are unconventional methods. They could be just internet work. They can just be AM radio. It's just getting yourself out there and saturating wherever you can a little bit about who I am. And so now there are different venues out there and different companies that look in, or even record labels or different people in Nashville that look at this at me and say, wow, well, she's got over 200,000 Facebook likes on her fan page. She's got 100-something thousand Twitter followers. Wow, we don't even have to worry about that if we were to, you know, maybe they're looking at
Absolutely.
Me now and taking that into consideration. But I took all the risk, you know. I took all the risk because, let's face it, life is too short. I'm not getting any younger, but the music is still in me, and I want people to hear that. I want them to know that it shouldn't matter what part of the country I live in. It shouldn't matter how old I am or really what you look like. It all comes down to the song, and that's why I've loved country music, and that's why I am where I am today, because I felt like I belong here. This is where I feel like home. In country music.
Wow.
And so far so good, because there are many people out there that feel that way. I hear it from the fans. I go out there and I listen to them and I like to connect with them, and I'm doing it. And so if a record label wants to approach me one day down the line, I'll listen to them, because again, it's doing what I love.
Wow. Now, for example, you know, back in the 80s, they had CBS Associates, which a person can pretty much, during that time, can go in with their own media package. They already produced the album, and say they hand a CBS, I think during that time, okay, if you want to be an associate of theirs, like $100,000 or $200,000, hey, go market my album. And they did an excellent job. They were on top of the world. Then as you went through the 90s, then Napster came in your opinion, what happened to this particular industry that affected them so gravely? I know downloads, and they finally got Napster out, and they're still recovering from that. What you see where we are today is the industry themselves more cautious business-wise in launching, or is it so expensive to launch a new, an existing or a new audience, an artist? Lisa, you there? Hello. Okay, we're going to take another station break real quick, and we'll go ahead and finish up the interview. So let's take another break from my sponsor.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Okay, I'm back with Lisa. We left off, Lisa, regarding Napster and the effect of the industry itself with the music business. Do you think we're still healing from that, or have we totally recovered, or the whole industry just gone in a different direction?
Well, I think that the industry has gone in a totally different direction as far as music and downloads and the different ways that you can get music. You know, as a songwriter, of course, you know, no one likes to have your music stolen, so to speak. Far as sharing, I think it's good that people can share their music, but there should be some type of limitations of how you can share your music with your friends and family and so forth. But as far as Napster, I never really got too much involved with Napster. I always bought my music, so I don't really have too much to say about that, but I'm glad that there are so many different avenues, not only to download music, but also to get your music out there and heard by the masses.
Yeah, one artist said a couple months ago, Edwin Hawkins, he's a gospel artist, he said, when we started, we really didn't get paid. You know, he said, thank God for avenues like iTunes, who's always going to be there, and YouTube, because even if they... more people just gravitate to put the information on YouTube to expose the person, expose the music, and they usually, at least they have royalties they can receive off of them versus in the past you really couldn't get anything at all. But we're still evolving. It's kind of interesting to see where we're going to be in 10 years as this industry grow and we're just more on demand. I've never thought CDs would start to die out, but slowly that's going to be the case right now because it's harder to get CDs. Everything's going to be electronic. So at least there may be a method of tracking things a little bit better and more
right.
Global. In closing, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
Well, in the next 10 years, I hope to have left some type of an impression, not only in the music business, but also with my family, and knowing that if you have a dream, that it's never too late to go for it and try. You never want to say what if. You want to just say why not.
Why not? And if there's a song to describe who you are, what that song would be?
Well, I wish I could think about that for a minute, but I can tell you that if there was a song that that I had sung, which was an original years ago, that the title was called Better Late Than Never. And so if there was ever going to be a song written about it, about my life and this journey that I'm on, I would say it would be called Better Late Than Never.
Better Late Than Never. Well,
yeah.
Lisa, I really appreciate you coming onto the program and sharing your story. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
That's okay.
And one is related to the power surge, but thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I thank you so much. I appreciate it as well, and I hope you enjoy a blessed day today.
Same here. And just give us your website address again and your Facebook and Twitter.
Sure. It's lisamatassa.com. That's LISAMATASSA.com. Also at Twitter at Lisa_Matassa. And on Facebook, Lisa Matassa.
Great. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank
appreciate
you,
coming
Tim.
On.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great day. Take care.
You too, hon. Bye-bye.
This has been another production of the Core Business Show. Tim Jacquet, your host. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio on blog.applecapitalgroup. We do ask you to Google Plus it or Facebook like it or share it with your friends. But also write a review about what you think, what did you like about that particular interview. Anything that stood out, just write it, you know, in a review in iTunes. We really appreciate it. So we can kind of measure to see if these shows are a benefit to you. Everybody, thank you for listening. Tim Jacquet with the Core Business Show. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.